If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome to New York City 2026. This is the New York Auto Show, and we have several surprises in this podcast because, well, first of all, I have a couple of friends. So hey. I'm starting with you, Sam.
Always great to see you, Andre.
Yes, so you and I did a quite nice walk around, I thought, in Detroit. Mm-hmm. So I was like, we should really keep doing this, right?
Let's do it again.
And then later in the show, our friend Stephen Elmer from Truck King is going to join us as well. So this is exciting because I haven't seen Stephen in some time. But we're starting here at the Hyundai booth. We want to show you the entire floor, basically, of the show, tell you the best and maybe not so best vehicles and introductions here. But I think it's a lot of interesting stuff. And Sam, I did not expect this. What is this?
This is the Hyundai Boulder, Boulder concept. So for the last couple of weeks, Hyundai's been teasing that they were going to show something really new here at the auto show.
And here it is in life.
And this is what they brought. And, you know, like I was at dinner last night with a bunch of folks, and we were talking about what is Hyundai going to show. And basically it came down to it's either going to be an off-road SUV, kind of like the Crater concept they showed last year, or a pickup truck.
Exactly.
Turns out Jose Munoz, the CEO, did mention the pickup truck before they lifted the lid on this thing.
I thought it was a truck for sure when he mentioned it.
Yeah. They've confirmed they are going to build a mid-sized body-on-frame pickup truck. But that's not what they showed us today. They're not ready to show us that yet. This, I'm assuming, is using the same basic frame architecture as the truck.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is a direct shot at the Jeep Wrangler and the Ford Bronco.
Even Bronco Raptor.
Toyota 4Runner and the
Land Cruiser.
Land Cruiser, maybe? You get into Land Rovers, Land Cruiser.
Those
Land
are a little
Rovers,
bit more luxurious.
They're more premium, more luxury. You know, I think these guys are aiming right at the heart of the market where the big volumes are.
Yes.
And, you know, if and when they build this, I think, you know, Jeep is better be, they should be scared right now.
And also Ford should take notice. I think everybody should take notice.
Everybody,
So let's describe it really briefly. So basically this is a four-door, and it looks like the rear door on this concept is like rear swinging, right? A four-door.
And actually it looks like it can actually swing either way because there's
the
a
rear
label
gate.
In there. It says pull. It's on both sides.
Yeah.
So there's actually a hinge on either side.
On the rear tailgate, basically.
Yeah,
so it swings either to the passenger side or could swing to the driver's side
depending on what's more convenient for you, depending on where you park.
I never understood that, like on a Jeep, you know, because you park it, you parallel park it on the street, and the door opens to block your way to the sidewalk, right?
Yeah.
I never understood that.
It's a little...
But now this tries to solve that issue, yeah, right?
Exactly, by swinging both directions.
But it's a wide-body vehicle on 37s, mm-hmm. so it's got a little... Well, this is a concept, so it may not translate.
Most likely, you know, a production version of this will come in different variations. You know, so this would be, you know, equivalent of a Bronco Raptor or you know, a Wrangler Rubicon X or something like that.
Yeah.
And you know, we'll probably see you know, more mainstream models. You know, with maybe slightly narrower fenders, not 37-inch tires on there.
Yeah.
You know, that will, you know, not be quite so wide.
But like you said, body on frame, solid rear axle. We could see it on this concept if we look down below. What do you think about this chassis? Do you think it's kind of in-house? Or do you think they're partnering with somebody else?
No, I think they're doing this in-house. I mean, Hyundai tends to, they tend to be pretty vertically integrated. They tend to do most stuff in-house. You know, whether it's, you know, motors or ADAS systems or anything else, they tend to do it all inside. And,
well, they have the manufacturing might also.
Yeah, I mean, they're huge. And one of the things that Munoz commented on in his presentation was that Hyundai is now the third largest automaker in the world behind Toyota and Volkswagen.
That's kind of eye-opening.
Yeah, yes. So that, you know, that's, they've got the capability to do this. Yeah. And this, you know, this is definitely a sign that they're moving in that direction.
Yeah, exactly. This is,
and I love this front end design. You know, we were talking earlier. You know, it's kind of reminiscent of some of the Ford Bronco concepts that Ford they did about 20-ish years ago, like early 2000s.
Yeah.
They did a Bronco concept. In fact, it was silver, very much like this one.
Kind of this matte, you know, silver,
yeah,
too, right?
Very. You know, very blocky looking in the front.
Yeah.
So I think this is it's a cool look. And I like the way that the designer talked about the lights, the kind of this soft pixel design. You know, so
it's not completely square.
Yeah,
right?
So, you know, on the EVs, on the Ioniqs and some of the other models, you know, you've got this pixelated design where you've got this array of small pixels. Here you've got big rounded pixels.
Yeah,
and it's a different look to it.
So it's not a super controversial design for a concept. Like the Tasman is kind of polarizing. You know, some people,
it's got a weird mix of elements to it.
Yeah, but this is, I mean, if they even build a pickup truck on this base, mm-hmm. you know, even everybody, you know, Toyota, Tacoma needs to take notice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those guys, GM especially.
Yeah, Ford Ranger.
And Ford Ranger. Yeah. So this is quite interesting.
And the Gladiator.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we don't have a lot of specs or anything like powertrains.
No specs. But my guess is, you know, we'll have gas versions, and it wouldn't surprise me if they, you know, they've already said they're going to do EREVs, extended range EVs, and so I wouldn't be surprised to see an EREV version of this at some point. And then the other thing that, you know, we can't see the interior on this concept. There, you know,
showed some crazy renderings.
But they showed some renderings that are really cool.
Yeah.
Very customizable. You know, being able to move stuff around on the dashboard.
Like little pods, like little screens that you could slide around.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really neat. Yeah. All right, let's keep moving.
All right.
So let's kind of step to the side. I wanted to take your, I want to talk to Steven with some of the pickup trucks over there. But I wanted to hear your take on what's happening with the smaller kind of commercial van market.
Yeah.
Because Ram is introducing that ProMaster City.
Yeah, they announced the ProMaster City a few weeks ago. And, you know, they had a ProMaster City before, which was based on a Fiat van design. But it was a compact van, you know, very similar in size to the former Ford Transit Connect.
Yeah.
But, you know, in Europe, they make vans in multiple sizes. They have compacts, they have mid-size, and they have the big vans, like the big ProMaster.
Well, like the one we see here.
The ProMaster, the new ProMaster City is actually based on their mid-size van. It's sold under several brands. There's the Peugeot Partner and a couple of others. And the key differentiator here, you know, I was talking to somebody from Ram earlier, that really distinguishes this one from the old ProMaster City is, as a cargo van, with the doors closed, you've got 8 feet of cargo space between the tailgate and the back of the seats.
Yeah.
So you can put, you know, 4x8 sheets of plywood in there, or, you know, other eight foot long items. And that was something you couldn't do in the old ProMaster City.
Yeah, and maybe that stopped a few people, right,
from
purchasing it.
Yeah, exactly.
But I wanted to hear your thoughts on the fact that everybody left the space, right? Uh-huh. If you look at several years back, you know, Ford, Nissan, GM, you name it, uh-huh. like everybody kind of walked away from a smaller, compact, or even Mercedes Metris,
yeah.
right? Disappeared
yeah.
from this market. Do you know?
Although the Postal Service uses a lot of them.
Oh, yes. Yes. Postal Service bought a lot of mattresses.
Yeah. I see them in my neighborhood all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So, I was kind of scratching my head, and I didn't know why necessarily. But yeah, I guess it's good that they're coming back.
Yeah, it's not entirely clear why. I think, you know, probably the length is, or certainly for the smaller ones, is, you know, one of the issues that had some potential customers concerned. You know, for the midsize, you know, like the Metris, I think, you know, in the case of the Metris, you know, that one may have just been a little too expensive for the market. And, you know, there haven't really been any other midsize vans for a while. So it'll be interesting to see how they price this one.
Yeah, so I heard the starting price was like just around the $40,000 because it's built in Turkey.
Yeah.
Right, so that's one of the issues because tariffs mm-hmm. will play some part in this.
Yeah, so you're going to...
That's
one of the issues that, you know, Ford and Stellantis and others had to deal with the old smaller vans was that they actually built them up overseas as passenger vans, which are not subject to the chicken tax. And then when they got here, then they would pull out the seats, pull out the windows, put in steel panels.
Reconfigure it,
most of them at least, as cargo vans.
Yeah,
and they're going to be doing that with this one too.
There's a passenger version of this that mm-hmm. they're talking about,
yeah.
which has got three rows of seats. But you know what? So it's coming. What I think production starts at the end of this year.
Yeah,
and early
2027. Yeah,
we'll see these, and I think they'll be first. I don't think mm-hmm. anybody's going to meet them there.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Not right now.
Not
anyway.
In a big way,
yeah.
at least.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Ford perhaps bring in, a version of the Transit Custom.
Which is their
midsize van,
yeah.
you know, in this class.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that's one that could come sooner rather than later. GM doesn't really have anything like that, in any of its overseas operations. So they're kind of left out of this market. Of course, they're also left out of the full size, like European style van market.
Well, yeah,
like the
because
Transit and ProMaster.
BrightDrop became Chevrolet, and now was discontinued.
Yeah, now it's nothing at all.
But they have that Express, my friend.
Yeah, but that's really...
That thing is
almost as old as my adult children.
I think it came out in 96.
Okay, so...
Approximately.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like 1 year younger than my younger child.
It is aging.
Yes.
But still, people like that body-on-frame, rear-wheel drive chassis that some of those vans
have. And you know they sell a lot of them mostly as cutaways now,
for like shuttle services.
They put shuttle bodies on them for airport shuttles and things like that.
All right, well, how about this? I want to meet Steven.
Okay,
we can talk about some Ram trucks, and then you and I, let's keep walking over there.
Okay, and we will reconvene momentarily.
Steven, dude,
hey.
Good to see you.
Nice to see you too, Andre.
I haven't seen you in a few months. I think
it's been a little while
at least. So I wanted to catch up with you, kind of hear from you about what you're doing, but also I want to look at the Ram truck booth with you because they have a humongous space here in New York.
Totally, and they did bring a lot of trucks out for us to see, which is always nice.
So I think people have a misconception about New York City. Mm. I want to set it straight.
Okay.
Because they think it's a big city, small streets, right? That nobody drives a pickup truck here.
Right.
But... You know, I've stayed here a couple days, and I've been coming here for 15 years. You see actually a few TRXs rolling around New York City.
For sure, and I mean, I feel like here it stands out even more because it's that big truck rolling down that small, skinny street.
Yes, but do you know why?
I was just
in an Uber this morning,
okay. And
the potholes are the size of like swimming pools.
That is true.
Some of them.
That is true. I don't think it's good here on a good day, but it was a rough winter here in New York City, so I think it's even worse than normal.
Exactly, because I've had a lot of snow. So what do you think? Should we start just, TRX is coming back, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. It's awesome, man. I'm so excited to see TRX come back. I actually think it's also cool they're bringing SRT back with it, right?
Yes.
That was such a good brand. Everyone knew SRT. So the fact that they brought the truck back, brought it back with even more power, and they're calling it an SRT and resurrecting the brand behind it.
Yeah,
it's a good move. I mean, let's be honest, what's old is new again at Ram, right? They're bringing everything back that they decided it was a mistake to get rid of, and this is one of those things.
Yeah, the 5.7 Hemi was the first thing,
right,
that they brought back. And the thing continues, like you nailed it, because I also want to look at the ProMaster City.
Right.
That's also coming. Again. Yeah. That's also coming back.
Yeah, hilarious, right?
But there's something interesting here. So let's kind of walk around, kind of set the stage.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I believe this blue truck is a Cummins Power Wagon.
Right. Right, which is also so exciting, and this is the one thing you can't say isn't old, because they never had this before,
right,
and we're finally getting it. And I know you, like me, and you know we used to work together, so we've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
We've been complaining about this since forever. We're like, Ram, please give us the diesel Power Wagon. Now, I will say, after looking at some of the numbers, it's a little interesting, the kind of business case here, because the diesel Power Wagon tows, and it has a big payload, which is always was the issue with the Power Wagon traditionally. But did you actually know that this truck has the worst off-road numbers out of the Rebel and the gas Power Wagon? So just from a straight off-road perspective, it's actually the worst one to buy, because it just has worse clearance. So, you know, I love it, don't get me wrong, I love me a Cummins, but I'm very interested to see who buys it and whether or not that's gonna kinda, you know, muddy the waters a bit with all these off-road heavy duties.
I'm glad you brought this up, because I had this kind of argument with Case on my team, and like you and I mean, with Romans and the TFL team, you know, we kind of launched TFL Off-Road, and of course you have the Truck King brand right now. You know, you and your dad are, and your brother also.
Yeah.
You guys are really doing a great job at Truck King. And I keep watching you guys and, you know, some of the videos you guys are doing.
Appreciate it.
But we've been asking for this, the diesel Power Wagon.
Right.
They gave it to us.
Yeah.
And Case is in love with it because he wants to use it as a built-up platform. You know, he wants to send it to AEV.
Sure. Heck yeah.
And have AEV go to town on it. But not a lot of people can afford doing any of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, when you talk about the diesel Power Wagon, like you said, it's in 20s, right? So it's got a 20-inch wheel. The tire profile is not very tall.
Right.
It's got a 34-inch diameter overall, which is not bad.
Right.
But nonetheless, I kind of wish they would have stepped it up even higher.
Right.
And also, you're missing a winch on this
one. And the no winch in the front end.
Yeah.
Which was classically, Ram always said that's why they weren't going to do a diesel Power Wagon, because they couldn't fit the winch. And then finally someone said, no, just do it. They'll live without the winch, right? And if you really want to put an aftermarket winch on there, I'm sure you could, right? So it's definitely doable.
And like an AV bumper is one solution that you could do for it.
Exactly.
But like, I think Case is envisioning like this truck built up on 40s, right? And, you know, doing kind of a proper build up on it.
Sure.
With a winch and everything like
that. And I think the overlanding thing, you know, Power Wagon's also always been a popular platform, but as I mentioned earlier, the gas Power Wagon was always neutered with payload and towing, especially payload, right? Terrible payload. And for an overlander, payload's probably the most important number, right? Because you want to put stuff in the bed, you want to build up to it, you want to add parts. So this solves that problem. So this should be a really solid platform. That's what I got in my head. You know, you're going to buy a massive 40-foot toy hauler, haul it out into the desert with all your toys. This is the truck to do that with, and not have to worry at all, because you got the lockers, you have all that off-road know-how, the four-wheel drive. Yeah, man.
And the frame, you know, the frame that's, you know, factory tested and approved, and the suspension and triple lockers, like you said, you know, front, center, and rear.
It's the real deal.
And I think the payload is around 3,000 pounds, maybe a little bit higher now.
Right.
And towing is like 18.5 or something like this.
Which is awesome.
So that's kind of what you're talking about. Your dad's trailer, your fifth wheel, he could tow his fifth wheel out there.
Yeah, out to some pretty gnarly places with this thing, right?
Except that bed is kind of short, right?
Yeah, true. Yeah, you're not getting the long bed.
Yeah. Well, because this is a Power Wagon frame, basically, right? So it's not an 8-foot bed. Like some of the other trucks.
Yeah, like you can get. Still, that's one of these things right now where, like, we've been complaining about it for so long. They finally did it. I don't want to complain too much more. And the other big thing, Andre, we need to drive it. I need to get behind the wheel.
Yeah.
We got to get it in the rocks. And that's where you'll really feel the difference, right? Because I also remember with the Tremor, when Tremor came out to heavy duty, super duty, and I drove gas and diesel back to back, I preferred the gas because the front end was a lot lighter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other thing I'm sort of worried about here. Is this going to feel big and sort of heavy, which isn't sort of great off-road? But again, I reserve judgment until we drive it. So, you know, make sure you come back to Truck King and TFL, because I'm sure we'll be out there driving it hopefully soon. We haven't heard, but hopefully soon.
We don't have a date yet, but I imagine like this summer.
Right.
That's what I'm imagining in my head. And also this summer, I'm imagining you and I will be driving the TRX.
I hope so, man. I'm jumping the TRX, I hope. Because Ram's actually been really good for that. Every time they bring us out to TRX or RHO events, there's always a jump. So.
Yes. Before we get to some of the commercial vehicles, I also wanted to mention RHO a little bit. Because I think it's now in the shadow of the TRX always, right?
Yeah.
But I think when they put that high output straight six twin turbo Hurricane engine in this, I think in my mind, and I want to see if you agree or disagree, they kind of reset the bar a little bit because you have the really capable, you know, wide body, high clearance suspension and high travel suspension.
Yeah.
But you also have 540 horsepower. And if you look at the Ford booth, which is over yonder, we're not quite there yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Their V6 twin turbo Raptor is still about 450 horsepower.
Right. Right, exactly. So
do you think this is significant because of that? Or?
Well, I think when RHO was being pitched as the top dog, we all looked at it and said, well, no, we know Raptor R is out there. We know everyone else's top dog brands is a little higher.
Yeah.
Now Ram solved that problem, right? And now
your
point,
they have both.
They have the Raptor competitor and the Raptor R competitor.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all know these brands are benchmarking, you know, each other constantly. So obviously that wasn't a coincidence. I'm sure they had that planned out. And actually, it's funny. I talked about weight with the Power Wagon. I felt the same thing in the RHO. The first time I got it, I went, you know what? This actually feels really good handling-wise.
Because some
better
of the nose
the
weight disappeared,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And that makes a significant difference. So, again, I'm, you know, won't complain about the TRX. I want over 700 horsepower.
Yeah.
But this package felt much more daily drivable, let's say. Like, it just felt much more a good amount of power for the truck rather than a bonkers super truck, right? This
so
feels more livable.
If you are in New York City, RHO is a little bit better on fuel, probably.
Yeah, sure.
So, hey, you could launch this on the pothole you know, all day long.
Yeah, and it'll still eat potholes, no problem,
yes.
Right? Yeah, man. No, I like it. And Ram now has such a fleshed out off-road lineup, you know, with Warlock and Rebel and the Backcountry they just brought out, and then RHO and TRX.
In their 1500 and also heavy-duty space.
Sure, yeah. Good point. Yeah, so that's it. They got the off-road trucks from bottom to top. You know?
I'm really curious because we don't have any news from Ford yet, but you know they're cooking something for the next generation probably,
sure.
Right?
For sure.
Because they've been cooking for a while, and I'm wondering what they're cooking up there because...
Right.
You know, 540 horsepower is now kind of the standard,
right?
They have to meet, and also the suspension and all that stuff.
And of all the brands, you know, Ford is going to one-up them. Ford won't be second in class. So I predict the Raptor will have at least 541 horsepower.
Boom.
At least.
Yes. And this is now 777, right? 777.
Right, which is
cool. Is kind of a lucky number, you know, if you're in Vegas
and you're
gambling.
Right. Yeah, sure.
So I'm wondering, once again, what is Ford cooking up?
Right, 800 at least, man. They got to do it.
I know they have a Ford Performance Kit, right? So where you can do a little bit more aftermarket Ford-approved stuff.
Right,
but
that's
not quite the same thing.
No, yeah, not straight.
Yeah.
It's not straight from the factory. It's straight from the dealership, but not from the factory.
But one dealership is different from another dealership. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I'm always a little bit wary of, you know, of doing that stuff.
Yeah, and just I think the purchasing process for the consumer is different too. Like, this is just, I want a TRX. You know what you're getting. Whereas that's a different process of sitting down, picking your different packages, making sure you know what you're getting. So.
Yeah.
What do you think about the graphics here? The fact that they brought back this. We always called it the Dragon's Puke graphic. And this used to be on the Power Wagon down the side.
What do you mean, like the two-tone?
Yeah. Well, not even the two-tone, just the whole decals going down the side.
Oh,
you know?
This part, the rear.
Yeah, the rear quarters here.
I probably would not get it personally.
Yeah,
this graphic.
I feel the same way.
But I like the lettering.
It's kind of like anime mud up the side of the truck, you know?
But I like the TRX graphic.
Yeah,
I think I would do that. But I wouldn't do, you know what you need on this is real mud.
Yeah, agreed.
Not pixelated mud.
Every truck looks better dirty, man.
Exactly.
But you got to look at the TRX badge on the tailgate, because that's got to be the coolest badge on the truck now.
They fixed this, right?
Yeah,
they
fixed
that. Because
that's pretty awesome.
Because regular owners were doing that themselves, and now it's proper, and this is from the factory now.
Yeah, I like that.
That Ram is doing. However, well, so they painted the tow hooks front and rear and did the badging in red, and some of the other badges. But... if you look at that RHO front end and this, they're almost identical as far as the headlamp, you know, in the grill area.
Right.
So there's not a lot of difference. The same problem, I think, with the Raptor R.
Yeah, right. From you don't know right away.
Like across the street, you don't know, is that an R?
And it's even the same Raptor badge, just with the R a different color, too, right? So it's kind of subtle.
I think I'm always on the fence about that. If I'm spending that kind of money to get a Raptor R, which is what, $115,000 US?
Yeah. $150 in Canada. Crazy.
I would like to be known.
Right.
But some people don't like that, right? Some people want to fly under the radar.
Right. And that's what I feel like this kind of decal package is. If you want people to notice you, you get that on the side of your truck. And if you don't, yeah, just keep it, you know, single or two-tone, and then you're good to go.
All right, so let's kind of look at a little bit of commercial side
of
Ram.
Sure, let's change gears over to van. Although you got to look at this beautiful chassis cab right here, man.
Oh, man.
Love that. Love seeing a chassis cab because it just feels like the possibilities are endless, Andre. You can do anything back there. So much room for activities.
Yes, but so there's a chassis cab, which is a crew cab. This is a 5500. Let me double check.
Is it?
Yes, this is a 5500.
Nice.
So it's got that wide front axle.
Right.
Really nice turning radius for how big this truck is.
Right.
Of course, it's shown in white because that's kind of a commercial thing, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
but
yeah. This is what
everyone
wants.
I would not recommend somebody to buy this with no bed because this will ride horribly.
Yeah, totally. You need some weight back there,
You need like a custom bed, you know what I'm saying? Like a flat bed, maybe with a camper on top of it.
Totally.
Or something like that because those, look at the stack. Look at this.
So many leaf springs.
Look at this stack. I mean, that will knock your fillings out.
I love it.
Sure.
And only still just the one helper spring. Like all of those springs are active all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the helper in the at the top
right,
here.
Exactly.
And I like the mid-mounted, midship mounted fuel tank because sometimes you can get a larger volume.
Right.
You know, they have, I think, up to almost 50 gallons in some of those configurations.
Right.
And you need that much diesel.
Yeah.
Although diesel is going up in price.
Expensive these days, man. Yeah. Yeah, you don't want the big tank.
No, but you do for work. You do for work.
And you avoid the gas station for as long as possible, right?
But this is something else that's coming back.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's check this out.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me about it. I actually missed the event on this when I was traveling. So, tell me your thoughts, man.
So, we all remember the ProMaster City. It was a kind of a small, compact van, right? And people enjoyed it. You know, a lot of businesses bought it, but now this is way bigger.
Right.
Because do you remember the Mercedes Metris?
Yes.
Actually?
Yeah.
In my mind, it's about the same size. They call it midsize.
Right.
So it's the wheelbase is larger, the height is a little bit bigger, but they kept saying, here's I am standing next to it, they kept saying it's under 7 feet, even with the antenna. So like all garages, you know, you could go inside of any garage, commercial
it's
garage.
It's got to work in the city.
Or even at home, right? Your home, your house, because real ProMaster over there.
Yeah, insanely tall.
It's very tall.
Yeah, and they have different roofs too. Version. Yeah, yeah, they have different roofs, exactly.
Yeah. The power on this is a turbocharged engine.
Yeah.
Pretty small displacement.
Yeah, typical.
About 2,000 pounds of payload, and 2,000 pounds towing.
Okay.
So this is not a towing machine.
No, but yeah, I don't think towing really matters. Again, payload is the number that this guy really cares about, because it's how much whatever I'm delivering can I deliver, right?
And this floor in the back, that's really important, is
nice
9 feet.
Wow,
9 feet
nice.
Length. And over 4 feet wide, obviously, because you have to put a 4x8 sheet of material in there.
Of course.
And also they have a passenger version with 3 rows, but only 3 rows, not 4 rows that some people were kind of wondering about. But look at this. I mean, this is a humongous amount of space.
Right. Right. Now, it is front-wheel drive only. Is that correct?
Yes.
They did not announce all-wheel drive. Yeah,
no,
which is something that feels like maybe people would want. And I'll be curious to see if they do come out with that. Although I wonder if all-wheel drive would then screw up that big, long, flat floor if they'd have to raise it or do something, right?
And that's another reason why the big ProMaster van is front-wheel drive, right?
Same deal.
Because same deal. You want to keep that floor down because some delivery services, they're walking in and out of those vans all day long.
Yeah, you want the low height.
So you kind of want the low height on that. But I heard something else at this launch or around this ProMaster City launch, what I thought was interesting. You know how the Ford Maverick is really red hot?
Sure.
You know, they sold like 160,000 of them in the US last year. Somebody told me because some of the small vans disappeared, you know, the Transit Connect and
Metris,
all of those vans disappeared from our market.
NV200,
the Chevy version of that van.
Right.
That the Maverick kind of stepped in that space.
Interesting.
And kind of, that's one of the reasons why it was so popular.
Right.
But now Ram is hoping to kind of come back into it.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, right? It's obviously a pretty small pie, and before it was divided a lot of different ways, and then everybody got out of this market, so Ram clearly identified a possibility here, going, wait a second, it's not a big pie to begin with, but if we can have the whole pie, then we're doing good. So, and this was already being built for Europe. That's the other thing too, right? So, it's not like they had to go clean sheet design here, right?
Unfortunately, it'll start like at 39,000 something, because that price is pretty high. People were hoping it's going to be much lower.
A little lower,
but it's built in Turkey.
Right.
And so, of course, there's, you know, all kinds of tariffs and all kinds of stuff going on in the world. So, but they've building this engine, and this, it has a unique transmission. It's an 8-speed. Mm. But they've been building this van for other brands at Stellantis for years.
Exactly.
So it's not a brand new design.
Right. So for them, it feels like, you know, obviously there was some cost involved, but not the cost of having to develop something brand new, right? So it makes a lot of sense. And I'll say one other thing, Andre. It looks pretty good, and that's especially when it's parked next to its brother, the ProMaster, which is one of the ugliest vehicles I personally think is on the road. ProMaster looks like a weird fish from the front end, where this thing actually looks pretty handsome.
It's
pretty
attractive.
Yeah. So I don't think most people in the commercial space really care about styling, but if you do care, at least this one looks a little bit better.
But I was talking to, you know, Dave Sowers and the team at Ram also, and they know this space. You know, they checked all the boxes as far as maintenance and, like, the headlamps are a little bit higher, so if you hit the bumper, the headlamps are not damaged.
Yeah, interesting.
You know, so they've checked all the boxes, and I think they can also get a lift-up hatch. So there's a barn-style door, or you can also get a hatch that opens up.
Nice. Yeah, that's smart, too, just depending on, you know, what you're delivering, where you're delivering it. You might want a different setup, right?
And also, van life people might appreciate this, too.
I think so. That's where I think the all-wheel drive aspect maybe comes into play, where if you're really wanting to go van life and drive on the beach or out in the desert, you might want all-wheel drive.
There's not a lot of road clearance on this. It's really low.
I feel like they kind of have to almost pitch it as that, but I don't feel like that's really the target market here, right?
Yeah. So what else is going on in the trucking? Because I know you do like kind of power sports stuff as well.
Yes, sir. I mean, the truck reviews keep on rolling out. We're excited at home right now because winter's finally breaking in Southern Ontario. So like our last two videos, we've finally been able to get back up to our test property and actually, you know, put some payload in the back of trucks. And I'm excited because April's always a great month for us because our off-road trails are just flooded. That's when we get the most water, the most mud. So that's coming up too.
Hydroline.
Exactly. We'll be up the Hydroline as soon as we can. And then, the power sports stuff. We got TK Power Sports. I'm excited. Honda just rolled out a brand new Pioneer 1000, so we're gonna go check that out. So we're busy north of the border, man. We got lots going on.
Yeah, and you also do some watercraft, right? Personal watercraft and wave runners and all that stuff.
Yeah, I actually bought myself a 1997 wave runner last year, wave runner 700, wave venture 700, which I've been loving, and I've been making a bunch of videos on that. And I love doing that stuff, and I love trucks too, but it's fun to change it up. And I feel like those worlds all tie in. If you own a truck, there's a good chance you want an ATV, a side-by-side, or a PWC. So
you could tow it or put something in the bed and carry it.
Yeah,
you know,
man, every truck looks way cooler with an ATV in the bed. Like, that's a fact, you know?
Or also a kayak, maybe.
I need a motor, Andre. I need a motor,
It needs to make noise.
I'm not the motor. I need a motor to drive me, you know?
All right, dude. Well, really great to see you.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. You too?
Yeah. So stay tuned. We're hoping for more events with these trucks, you know, coming up very soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Take care, everybody.
All right, that was great to see Steven. But Sam, let's continue. We're just walking by the Jeep booth here. So we just left Ram, walking into Jeep. And actually, this Gladiator I have on loan from Jeep right now.
Yeah, I love the color of this, and especially like the wheels. You guys have commented on the wheels.
Yes.
The olive drab wheels matching the body.
Yeah, this is the new 2026 Willys 41 edition, basically to celebrate 1941 and kind of the heritage of the Jeep brand as well. And these wheels are actually aluminum.
Yeah.
They look like steel, right?
Look like steelies, like old school steelies.
Yeah. But actually, if I had the magnet handy, which, I mean, it's on my shirt right now, but it is aluminum wheels, so I think they did a good job. But this is kind of aging now.
Yes.
And you and I talked about this already in the previous podcast. And now they can see the boulder.
Yeah, well, right? I think, I don't know, we didn't really talk about it much with the boulder. You know, we referenced it a little bit that Jose Munoz said they are going to build a mid-sized pickup. And, you know, if they do something like this, you know, using the styling of the boulder for a mid-sized pickup truck. That could be really interesting.
It will be squarely aimed at this almost.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Or something like this.
Yeah, Mojave.
This is a Mojave. But this is, you know, lifted on 35s. It looks bigger. It looks more proportional. It looks much better.
Yeah. But, you know, imagine, you know, if you cut off the back of that boulder and put a bed on there.
Yeah.
You
know, and extend the wheelbase a little bit,
extend
right?
the wheelbase. And you've got a direct competitor here.
Yeah, exactly. But I didn't think Kia would be on the map here for trucky stuff.
Uh-huh.
But Kia has several debuts, which we'll talk about. I'll talk about in a separate podcast for cars, because they have the new Seltos, they have the EV3. But in the corner here in the Kia booth, they have something very interesting.
Yeah, it is the PV5.
Yeah.
So they first showed these vehicles at CES a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I remember. And they had the camper van, remember?
It's concepts. Yeah, so yeah, they had one at CES, or at SEMA.
Yes.
Done up as a camper van.
Yes.
And now they've got one here that they partnered with a company called Braunability that does a lot of the conversion, the wheelchair conversions.
Yes.
And so they've got a wheelchair accessible New York City taxi based on the PV5.
Yeah.
So I think the PV5 design is a really interesting design. Yeah, you know, it's a very modular vehicle.
Yeah.
And you know, Braunability has been, you know, they've been doing these wheelchair conversions on a wide variety of vehicles for a long time. And so you know, it's not surprising to see them do one on this. And it's interesting, this is an electric vehicle.
Yeah. Electric, you know, platform.
It's all electric platform. It's going to be used for a wide variety of applications. And makes sense, you know, you've got the ramp coming up the back there from the rear axle. You can roll right up into there, lift the ramp inside. I think this could be a very interesting next generation taxi cab for New York City.
So maybe I'm going to eat my words, because when I said nobody's going to meet the Burmester City in the market, well, this might meet it.
That's true.
Because you see, they're about the same height.
Yeah.
So they talked about...
It's a similar size.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how big the interior is, but, you know, again, because it's a modular design, it would be pretty easy for Kia to make a slightly longer wheelbase version or a shorter wheelbase version.
And, or even, you know, a chassis cab.
Or a chassis cab.
Yeah.
And in fact, they have shown different variants like that. They've shown a chassis cab version of the PV5.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised to see them, especially, you know, if they're going to offer a vehicle like this, and I don't know if they haven't really said if they're going to, but if they were to offer a vehicle like this in the U.S., you know, as a taxi, then, you know, if you're homologating in any way for the U.S. market, you might as well offer other commercial applications as well.
Yeah, or even the pickup truck version of it, right? Because
sure.
they had showed some concepts with this, with a bed, but there's still some hurdles, like you said, because, you know, like all the homologation, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to have the safety done, you know, all those elements, right?
Yeah.
Crash testing.
But, yeah, I mean, I know they've been working on a lot of that stuff to make it legal for U.S. applications. So
this is really interesting.
Yeah.
It is all electric,
mm-hmm.
and they obviously the ProMaster City is all not even a hybrid, right?
Yeah, but when you consider the way most of these types of vehicles are being used, you know, as a taxi cab
in a big city,
in a city, it's going fairly low speeds. You know, so aerodynamics is not an issue. You know, if you had 150 miles of range, and we know that Hyundai, Kia EV platforms charge really fast.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you've got, you know, if you can charge this thing up in 20 minutes, be back on the road again. You know, driver stops to have a lunch break, charges it up. You know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I just want to take another closer look, because we loved, Roman and I did a video about that camper van conversion that they did on this platform. And it was very innovative, right? Backward-facing seats, you know, different configurations on the inside. And this is a little bit more traditional, right? So all the seats are pointing forward. So it's a little bit more traditional, but there's still, look at this room. I mean, there is a ton of space in there.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's the kind of thing that, you know, fans of the old VW microbus campers.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, they,
and also ID Buzz kind of plays in the same area.
This is the kind of thing that they would want.
Yeah, and also for many different use cases, not just, you know, commercial taxi service, but it's also cool how they did not raise the vehicle to accommodate the wheelchair.
Right, you know, because you've got an independent rear suspension in there, and the ramp, you know, comes right up between the rear wheels.
And it seems it looks seamless, right? Mm-hmm. Just kind of.
Yeah, so you roll right up, clamped in, lifts up, the ramp folds up into place.
Very nice.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's kind of snap our fingers and let's transfer over to General Motors and Chevrolet.
All right, sounds good.
All right, Sam, so we're walking through this luxury section of the auto show. You can see Bentleys, Rolls-Royces, I mean, any
Lotus.
Number, Lotus, and even more high-end vehicles like Koenigsegg and Porsche and the rest. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Why hasn't Bentley and Rolls-Royce built a pickup truck? Because they built SUVs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And pickup trucks are status symbols also. You know, we saw the TRX, right? We saw the Raptor R. Here's a question for you. Bentley pickup truck.
Would you pay $400,000 or $500,000 for a Bentley pickup truck?
It depends.
Well, let's think about
it. Okay, depends.
Who buys the luxury pickup trucks, like the big, you know, the high-end Platinum and, you know, King Ranch pickup trucks?
I would say businessman, because it's also a business. Mm-hmm. It could be a tax help for a lot of businesses, right?
Yeah.
They want to be comfortable. They want to be seen, like if you own a company or something like that.
Okay, so you do that. Okay, you buy your Bentley pickup truck or your Rolls-Royce pickup truck.
Yes.
And you roll up to a job site.
Yes.
And customer looks at your Bentley and Rolls-Royce and says, why am I paying you so much?
Okay, no, wrong industry. Wrong industry. Let's say you've rolled up to your five-star Michelin restaurant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And status symbol, okay? You know, maybe you own a chain of restaurants. Anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, so I want to hear what some of the listeners.
To be fair, it's only a matter of time before one of them does.
Okay, so Mercedes kind of toyed with that idea with the G-Wagon, mm-hmm. custom G-Wagons, right? So why toy with it? Just do it, right?
Why not?
Just build a lot of them. So General Motors has a humongous space here, and they're celebrating also, like many other brands, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stellantis is doing this, GM is doing this. They're celebrating 250 years of United States with some special editions. So they have 250 edition here in the heavy duty. They also have electric.
You got the E250 Silverado EV.
Exactly. Yeah. And then there's also the light duty truck. But there's not a lot of news right now in this space.
Yeah, there's basically nothing new from GM in the truck space at the moment.
Yeah.
Although later this year, we do expect to see a
huge
bunch of news.
Yeah. Huge news.
I mean, you know, you guys have done some stories on the sixth gen small
V8
blocks.
Engines. Yes.
We saw the Corvette Grand Sport last week, which is the first application of that next generation of the small block, and we're going to see that coming into the trucks. You know, these trucks are due for a redesign, and so you know we expect to see that in the second half of this year.
Yeah.
So there is a bunch of news coming. It's not quite ready yet.
Yeah, and also there's a lot of rumors about the
Speaking
latest.
Of which, there's the Grand Sport over there.
Ooh, maybe we could take a sneak a little peek at it, because there's a lot of news. I mean, the ZR2 truck, I expect that the same engine to be in something like this, right?
No,
the
absolutely.
ZR2 off-roader with that big 6.7 or 6.6. You know, there's different rumors flowing around.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of rumors of the new Duramax diesel engines.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just have to wait and see exactly what General Motors does.
Yeah.
Ooh, but this Corvette is hot.
I love this color. This is a fantastic color.
This blue with red stripes.
Yeah.
If Roman was here, it would be hard to pull him away from this, I think.
You know, and you know, in the previous generations, especially the C6, I loved driving the supercharged LS9 in the C6 ZR1.
Yeah.
But the Grand Sport was really the one that's kind of the sweet spot in terms of performance and price, and you know, it looks like that's going to be the case with this new one as well.
Yeah. You know,
really quick.
Where I am with this, I mean, of course, I love pickup trucks. This is what I do every day, and big SUVs. But whenever I get in a sports car, of course I get excited, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what scares me sometimes is because I'm not a professional driver, right? I get in the car, it has over 500 horsepower, and I do something dumb, and it scares me. But a car like the Grand Sport is a little bit more balanced, in my opinion, right? It doesn't have 1,250 horsepower.
Right.
You know,
You got the base Grand Sport, you got 535 horsepower. Yes.
That's my type of power.
The Grand Sport X, you got 720.
Yeah, that'll scare me.
But that's all-wheel drive, though.
Okay.
You know, so it's still the same 535 horsepower V8, and then another 100 and some horsepower from the from the front axle from an electric motor. You know, and nice thing about that is, you know, if you actually like your neighbors, and you know you have to leave early somewhere, you can start it up in stealth mode, or if you're coming home late, so you don't have to rumble through the neighborhood.
Yeah. Have you heard any rumor about a hybrid next gen pickup trucks? Because it's kind of missing from the General Motors portfolio right now.
Back in 2024 or so, they started talking about bringing hybrids back to their U.S. lineup. You know, they have hybrids overseas. They haven't really done anything overseas, though, that would be suitable for the pickup trucks.
Okay.
And they've been very quiet about it recently. And so, not sure where they're at right now, exactly what their plan is with the hybrid trucks.
Exactly. Hey, Cole, let's take a look at this Bronco RTR for a second, because this is where the Boulder kind of is aiming also, right? This is kind of a little bit more customized. RTR is a separate company, but now, like we discussed in our previous podcast as well, for this kind of folding it into their factory a little bit more.
Yeah, so RTR has been doing RTR versions of some of the Ford vehicles for a while now in their facilities. You know, so they buy them pre-title, upfit them with their equipment, and then send them to the dealers for delivery to customers. But you know, that's an expensive process. And so what RTR has done now with this, they're still offering those as a, kind of a higher end version, and they're more customizable. These are being built directly in the Ford factory. So RTR has done some of the design work on them, and they'll be available directly from the factory. And this is the first time.
They showed the interior,
They showed us the RTR a couple of months ago, but we didn't get to see the interior.
Yeah.
So now you can see, you know, those lime green, yellow flourishes on the dashboard, and on the center console, and the seat belts, and everything else.
And of course they do, you know, pretty capable suspension. So this is not a wide body Bronco or Raptor.
It's based on a Sasquatch.
I like that. Once again, the Bronco Raptor is just too wide, a little bit ungainly.
Yeah, it's 10 inches wider than a standard Bronco. So,
I mean, if you tried to park it in the city, I mean, this would be a little bit sketchy.
Yeah.
But this is a little bit more manageable. And I don't know if they announced pricing yet. Have you heard about pricing?
I have not heard anything on pricing yet on this
one. So I think this is
coming. But it will be a lot cheaper than the Bronco RTR Raptor built ones, yeah.
Yeah, and the Bronco Raptor, I'm hoping.
It should be cheaper than the Raptor.
Yeah. So it's kind of like in between there, kind of between the middle of the range and also, but they should take notice of what Hyundai is doing, I think.
Oh yeah,
probably.
I'm sure. I was over at the Hyundai booth, and I was talking to somebody from GM's competitive intelligence team. He's checking everything out, and I'm sure Ford and Stellantis have people wandering around here gathering the same kind of data.
Well, because everybody was surprised by that announcement, so other manufacturers also need to understand this, right?
Oh, yeah.
And see what's going on. So Ford is, they announced a partnership with Major League Baseball. So they have this truck here. And look, it has a miniature
baseball diamond.
Baseball diamond field right there, right here in their booth. But they have a little bit of news, which is that vehicle right there.
Yeah, so this year is the 30th anniversary of the Expedition.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't remind me how old I am.
Oh, yeah, I'll shut up. I'll shut up now.
The Expedition originally came out as a 1997 model.
Yeah.
This will be 2027 model year. It's the 30th anniversary, so they've got a 30th anniversary limited edition. I mean, they just got a major refresh last year. So it's still pretty new.
Yeah.
But now adding a few other flourishes to make it distinct.
So I was reading up on this. So the color, this kind of blue amber, I think they called it, is basically a dark horse, one of the dark horse Mustang colors.
Yeah.
And you can kind of tell the resemblance a little bit.
Yeah.
But that was supposed to be almost exclusive dark horse. But then they wanted to put it on this, and this is based on the Stealth version. And they call Expedition Stealth as one of their sporty models, right? But it's also
based on black grille and wheels and everything. Yeah.
So this is this could be over 80 grand.
Oh, easily.
What we're looking at right now.
I wouldn't be surprised if it hits 90.
Yeah. So it has unique color, I think unique wheels as well. There is also badging. Check out the badging on the wheels. Right there, anniversary edition 30.
You can't have an anniversary in this business without building a special edition of some vehicle.
Well, it's interesting because I think you and I were touching on this last time, that some development cycles have shrunk, some extended for various reasons. And when you want to keep it fresh, right? You want to keep it moving.
Yeah, even if you're not going to do a full redesign, you do need to occasionally bring out something distinct that will keep customers interested, keep them coming into your showrooms and shopping, for whatever's new. For Expedition this year, 30th anniversary is the thing.
Yeah, and I was actually thinking back because I did some research on this. I believe it was 03 or 04, maybe somebody will correct me, maybe you will, where the Expedition, there was like a second generation-ish.
Yeah.
And they introduced rear independent suspension.
Yeah.
So it was really early on.
Yeah, so the first generation that came out in 97 was really based on
F-150,
F-150. So it had a solid axle, leaf spring rear suspension. And then for the second gen in 2003 or four, they decided to go, they were one of the first to go with an independent rear suspension on a vehicle like this, because what that does, not having the rear axle having to move up and down, you can lower that rear floor, and then that third row seat is get much more comfortable seating position for the passengers back there.
Cool. Do you want to peek in inside a little bit? I know there's somebody else filming there, but they have kind of a new light color interior on this. So it looks actually quite nice as far as the interior contrast. And they have a little bit of, I think, badging also on the inside as far as 30th in addition. But I think...
Well, they don't want you to forget what you paid extra for.
Exactly. But you made an excellent point. Some people say, independent suspensions on trucks is garbage because it's going to be unstable, or when you load it up with a trailer and payload, it's not as good. But it came a long way, I think. And we do a lot of towing tests, and a lot of trucks, even with coil springs in the rear, like Rams, they do really well.
Yeah. So. No, I mean, these automakers understand what their customers are looking for.
Yeah.
And, they are going to take the time to try and engineer these types of systems so that it still works for the task that people expect them to work for, whether it's hauling people, hauling cargo, towing a trailer, it still has to do the fundamental job that you expect of a full-size truck or SUV. And if it can't do that, then, what's the point?
Yeah.
So, you got to make sure that an independent suspension still works for that. And it does.
But you get more space on the inside.
Yeah, lot more space. Yeah, that third row becomes a lot more usable.
And in fact, it's kind of funny. Everybody switched, GM with the Tahoes and Suburbans and GMCs
Toyota went backwards.
Nissan. Toyota went back to an axle, right?
Yeah. Although I think
solid
axle. Yeah, I think in their case it probably had more to do with the fact that the
Sequoia, it was more Tundra related.
Yeah, the Sequoia was not a huge seller. And re-engineering an independent rear suspension for a relatively low volume model like that didn't make business sense for them. So they probably decided, we're going to stick with the Tundra rear axle on this.
Yeah, I probably made the business case a little bit better.
Yeah.
I want to end at Nissan here since we're here, because of course they have the Armada, they have the Frontier, but the rumor mill is swirling about an Xterra.
Yes. It's coming.
Have you heard anything? What you could say?
It may have been visible at some point in the past.
What?
When I was somewhere that I can't talk about.
Okay.
They have confirmed that they're going to build a new Xterra.
Yeah.
And so it's coming probably late next year, I think, or 2028. But it is coming. So that's going to be another entry into that same marketplace with the Boulder and the Bronco and everything else.
But truck-based, right? Body and frame?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Just like the old Xterra was.
Yes.
So it'll probably be based on maybe an updated version of the Frontier platform, maybe for the next generation Frontier.
Yeah. So the Frontier we're looking at here at the show is their new Pro 4X R, and you could see the R here in the logo on the wheel. And then basically it's kind of a Roush collaboration, right? Mm-hmm. A little bit of a suspension lift, but not any power, additional power or anything like that. It's still a V6 underneath the hood.
Yeah.
So that is interesting. And I really, gosh, when the Xterra went away, because, you know, we're in Colorado, right? Everybody loves those little off-roaders.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you doing?
When you're going off-road, you're going on trails. Why? You know, you don't want something as huge as, you know, a full-size truck or a Bronco Raptor.
Yes.
You know, you need something that's a little narrower. And that Xterra was a good size. But
and they left at the wrong time.
Yeah, they left just before that segment really started taking off. So, you know, as they say, timing is everything.
Yes.
And sometimes you just have consistently wrong timing.
All right, so
just like Honda, you know, canceling all their EVs right as gas prices go up.
Yeah, to $4 to $5 now a gallon. Yeah. Yeah. So I think we basically covered basically the entire show this year for 2026 New York City, except there's a downstairs area for custom vehicles, right, over there. But I'll hit it in a different podcast for car.
All right. There's also the Nissan Nismo Z with a manual transmission now.
It's right there. We should cover it in our car podcast.
You absolutely should.
Which is coming up. Also, check it out at oldtfl.com. And check out, please, the Wheel Bearings podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Come on over. We have a lot of fun on that show with Robbie and Nicole.
Yeah.
And we often reference the stuff that these guys are doing. So.
Yeah, really appreciate it. I listen to your show every week because you guys are pretty, you know, right there, you know, every, I think Sunday or Monday, right?
Sunday? Usually Sundays, depending on our schedule. Sometimes it might come out Monday.
It gets crazy.
Or if there's an embargo, might hold it till Tuesday, you know.
Because sometimes it gets crazy. Yeah. And we're publishing this show a little bit earlier than our regular, because it's out of show season right now, right? So we want to be kind of timely.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in the greater New York area, you want to see what's here, you know, see, is it worthwhile for me to go down there? And, you know, I think it's kind of
a way to do it.
Yeah,
it is, because... Well, you saw some of these concepts. I mean, that's pretty interesting.
There's a lot of stuff here.
So, well, thank you, Sam.
Always good to see you, Andre.
I really appreciate it. We'll see you next time.